We are in this series where we have been looking at Jesus as the way to live life. And we've come now to this really interesting story where Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness and the devil tempts Jesus. But before we look at this story, let's just stop and think about this word, tempt. What do you think about when you think about the word tempt or temptation? Right. That encouragement from someone or something to do something wrong. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a bit of a problem because Holy Spirit led Jesus to this place. And it cannot be that God... Okay, let me put this way. How many of you put the cookie jars up high so the kids wouldn't get them? Yeah, me too. I mean, Bron Warren...
You putting them up high, they can still reach.
Bron's child, grandchild built a tower out of tables, chairs and books and everything to read. But you do things, don't you, to stop your kids being tempted, right? So God is an awesome, great parent, way better than you. He is not going to lead us into temptation in that way. So there's something wrong with this word here, okay? What are we talking about? And a better word nowadays would be for us to use the word test. A test, because this is all about Jesus being in a difficult situation that tests him, but then he finds out what he's made of and what things he will not compromise over. Now, Jesus is the way that we follow. And so, therefore, we are going to journey through testing times as well. But testing, it is that moment when God says, I believe in you. Right? Do you believe in yourself? Do you know what you're made of? Do you know what your values are? And in the test, you really do find out what you're made of and you find out what your values are. Yeah? So as we read this story, then have that word of test where you find out your metal. Is that the right phrase? I don't know. Sounds good. And have that word in your mind as you read it. Okay. Right. Can you turn? Okay. So it starts, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Okay. We have to stop before we've even started. That's the beginning of chapter 4. Right. Then Jesus. So if Luke is saying then, something must have happened beforehand. Yeah. So what's happened if then... So what happened? Does anyone know? Chapter 3? Jesus was baptized. Okay, if you move the slide on, I'll show you the verse. There you go. In chapter 3, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from the heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and with you I am delighted, I'm pleased with you. So Jesus is baptized, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the River Jordan. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus told him, no. The scripture say, people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. And Jesus replied, the scripture said you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order your angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Now, because Luke has linked these two stories of the baptism of Jesus and the temptations in the wilderness, you can see that Jesus is reenacting a powerful story for the Jews of when God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt. You know this story? They're slaved in Egypt. God takes them out and he brings them to the river Jordan. Well done. And what does God do? Because, you know, they can't go over it, can't go under it, you know, got to go through it. So what does he do? Parts of water, Israel walks through the other side and God leads them into the wilderness. Yeah? So this is what Jesus is doing. He comes in, he gets baptized in the river Jordan. He comes out, God's delivered, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is taken into the wilderness. Now, you all know Israel's history. When they go into the wilderness, they don't trust God and they constantly fail. For example, the Israelites complain about a lack of food. They make a golden calf to worship when they believe that God is taking way too long to answer them. They are fearful of the power of the giants because they've got no power to fight back. The testing that Israel faced in the wilderness, this is mirrored in the testing that Jesus is facing right now here in this story. Jesus is reliving Israel's history. And just as Moses fasted for 40 days and God gave Moses the Ten Commandments for God's people to live by, now Jesus will fast for 40 days and he'll show us the rules that we need to live by. Got it? That's good, isn't it? Should I sit down? No, it's a bit more. Okay. Did you notice how the devil started with if you are the Son of God? Now look, both Jesus and the devil believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That is not in doubt here, and that is not being tested. It should really say, since you're the Son of God. The if is talking about whether God the Father is faithful. The devil is saying, you are the Son of God, but is God your Father faithful to you? Is he really going to be there for you? Can you really trust him? That's the question. The test is, will Jesus put his desires, his way of doing things, above the plans of God? Or will Jesus trust the Father wholeheartedly and submit his desires and his way of doing it and his power and his authority and his privilege as the Son of God, all of this that he is and has, will he submit his way of doing things to God? The test is, you are the Son of God. You have been baptized and you have power in the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Now, Jesus, how will you act? Now that you know that, now that you're the Son of God, you know it absolutely, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, how are you going to act? So he gets tested in this area. And in the first test, the devil says, you're the Son of God. So, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus told him, no. The scriptures said people do not live by bread alone. Do you remember that Jesus has been fasting for 40 days? Yep. So he's... you know your Bibles. Yeah, you know, he's hungry. He knows, we know our stomachs, yeah. Okay, so here is the first test. Will Jesus spend his power on himself? Will he use his power to provide the bread for himself for his own comfort? Or will he trust God to provide for his needs in the wilderness? You do realise there's no shops, right? So it's not like, you know, it's not like now. If you're hungry, you know, that's why we're doing the cook-ups, yeah? This is not possible. There isn't a source. But there is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's got power. Turn the bread. Come, make your own bread. Are you going to do that? Are you going to use your power on yourself? No. You know, because you've just heard Jesus' answer. Jesus passes the test. He will never use his supernatural power or his privileged place as the Son of God to help himself. We are followers of the way of Jesus, and we get tested in this. Church, will we spend the privilege of being an accepted child of God, spend our prayers, our money, our power, our voice to fight for justice? Will we spend all that we possess on ourselves and our comforts? Or will we spend our possessions and our resources and everything that we have, the power of Holy Spirit, our prayers, will we spend all of that on others? What will you do with your possessions? That's the test of your values, really, isn't it? Hey? Don't you find? When it comes down to your money and your time, doesn't that really test your values? What's really important to you when it gets squeezed in that place? You're all looking at me as if it never happens to you. Honest. If you can see your faces, you're like, no. Just so you know, I don't believe you. That tests our values. What are your priorities? And you don't find out until they're tested, do you? Yeah? It also, you know, in that space where you get that opportunity, will I use my power, my privilege, my resources on my comfort, or will I trust in God? That really does trust your relationship with God as well, doesn't it? It really does show you where you're going to put your trust and where you're going to look for the resources of your life, yeah? Will you trust in your own understanding? That's what the verse was this morning, yeah? Depend on your own understanding, or will you seek God and trust him? So that's the first test. It's your possessions. In the second test, the devil took Jesus and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world. I will give the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scripture said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Yeah. Okay, worship, again, is one of these, like, funny words, because, like, there's no way Jesus is tempted to worship the devil. Okay, that's just not going to happen, is it? So what is the devil saying in this place? It's all about compromise. The devil is saying to Jesus, Jesus, I know you've got a relationship with God, the Father, and and you're the Son of God. Yeah, you've got your position. Come join me. Let's rule. Jesus, rule with power over the people, like I do. Do you remember what's going on in Jesus' world right then? For the Jews and for Jesus' family. Do you remember how he's been living in a time where he's been ruled by the Romans? Yeah? And there's this rising up of nationalism in the whole of the Jews. And they are so close. In fact, not that far off. And they're going to fight back with the Romans. And there's this test, Jesus. The devil is saying, you're the Son of God. You're the Saviour. Come on, Jesus. Fight for the rights of the Jews. Power to rule over the church. The power to rule over is the test here. Do you know, that's a real seller moment for me. power to rule over. Salamin, stop and pause and think for a moment. Excuse me. These are my personal thoughts, okay? So, stone me. But I think the church in Australia has been tempted in this area at the moment. Have you heard this language of the churches being persecuted? Yeah, some nods going around. The church is being persecuted. It concerns me because we, the church, have had power over people and over issues for a while now. And that power is being taken away from us. And our concerns are over the church's suffering. It seems to be based in, what about me? The language I hear is about, I am going to suffer. I am going to lose my rights. I am going to lose my privilege. So what? It sounds like the church is like concerned, and it's causing the church to fight for our own rights. And for me, I look at this story and I look at what we're doing, and I do not believe we are in line with the way. So what? You know, that you're having to fight for your rights is what the rest of the world is doing all the time. How, church, then, are you now different from the world? Like, where is the difference in that if you're just fighting for your rights and privilege, church? Wake up, church. The gospel is that we suffer for the rights and the privileges of others, not of ourselves. I believe this is the temptation that's been the test right now. Will we, the church, give up our power and allow God to raise us up or not, as he decides? Because we submitted to his will or ours? Where's the trust in this? I'm going to be persecuted. No, you can't. No, really, this is not persecution. Anyway, stop, Julie. I want to talk about this more. I want to talk about this thing of having power over, because I think we've been operating it in way too long, and we need to start taking a really good, hard look at ourselves. And hopefully God's people said amen. Amen. Oh, good. I was waiting for... Here's the thing, though, about this second test. Because the test for Jesus is even greater. The devil is offering Jesus the keys to the kingdom of God. And if Jesus takes this opportunity now, he can avoid the cross. He doesn't have to suffer or die a humiliating, torturous death. When you see the cross, what does it mean to you? Like, you see that? Is it joy? Do you look at that place and see your salvation and your healing and your restored relationship with God? Do you see in that a hope for your future, that this world is not all that there is and there is something so much more? What do you see in the cross? So much more, yeah? Imagine if Jesus had taken his way, decided to become king and rule over the people. Your life would look so much different right now. Aren't you glad that Jesus passed this test and said, I will not rule with power over the people. I will take the road of the suffering servant. And what does he invite you into? You get to join the family. Yeah? And we serve him because we love him. But we're part of his family. You're adopted now. You've got the rights of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom. You're a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't take the easy way out, but that you chose the path of suffering, because we are all so grateful. The temptation in this place is to operate in power over others, over situations, to hold the power. Especially if it means we can avoid our own suffering. We're followers of the way of Jesus, and the test is, in this space, will I do it my way, and things that I feel like are really important and how it should be done, or God's way? And what if God's way means I know I will suffer? Well, that's really the test of our inner values, isn't it? It's that place where you go, I am not compromising over this, and I don't care what it costs me, because this is worth so much more to me. My relationship with the Lord, my faith and my trust in him, that is worth way more to me than anything else. On that one, you can say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Try again.
Amen.
It's not quite like Africa, is it, Ross? So, what holds the greatest value in my life? God's way or my way? The final test is when the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Got any idea what this test is? It's a bit difficult, isn't it? The clue is in the word temple. So far, we've had a test over possessions. We've had a test over power. And this one is a test of reputation. And like I say, the clue's in the fact that Jesus was taken to the temple. Imagine what would have happened, right? If at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, comes out of the wilderness, goes to the top of the temple, and he jumps off. He's not going to land splat on the people in the courtyard. Okay, because at the other side of the temple, there's this like sheer drop and freak people out to look down there. That's it goes down into the Kidron Valley. So he would have jumped off of that bit, you know, and he's like falling, and then the angels come and they catch him. Now that's a sign, isn't it? Think about who's at the temple. All the Jews, all the religious leaders, all the Romans. Do you remember how Stephen was telling us how the Romans built their garrison so they could look over the top and see what those Jews were up to in their temple? All the Romans would see it. And Jews from all over the world, visitors from all over the world came. Now that's a way to make an entrance, don't you think? Now everyone knows he's the Son of God. And everyone knows the authority of the God, the power behind his name. But if Jesus had done that, he would have been saying, I doubt that God will make me king, so I'm going to work it out for myself. I doubt that God will give me the keys to the coming kingdom, so I will make it happen. I'll jump off the temple and prove it to everyone, and then I'll be the king and rule over. And Jesus refuses. He refuses to make his own way, to take a shortcut to success. He will follow God's way. Now, I get that there's a balance here because it's natural to want to succeed in ministry and life. Everyone wants to reach their potential, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I get that. I'm not really talking about that. The thing is that our potential is not found in others going, wow, look at you, look at that church, look at that minister, look at, And don't tell me we don't do it, because we do, don't we? Wow. It's not where your potential is going to be found, not in the kingdom of heaven. It's not God's priority. Do you know that where your potential is found? It's in showing and demonstrating what your relationship with your God is like. It's about showing where your trust is in your relationship with Jesus. When your trust is fully in your God, now you've reached your potential. That's what you're aiming for. Amen. Not all of this. Amen. That's the test. Three tests: possessions, power, and reputation, all of which shows us where our values truly lie. And Jesus uses the power of Holy Spirit for others. He didn't spend his power on himself, on his own comforts, his own privilege, even when he was really, really hungry. He didn't use his power over people, even though he suffered because he wouldn't do it. He didn't promote himself and his reputation. Do you remember that story? Okay, about reputation. Do you remember that story when Jesus is with all the crowds and the crowds start going, isn't he just the son of a carpenter? Like, who is this bloke? He's the son of God. Who is this bloke? There's no reputation there, is there? What Jesus did in those tests, you can see outworked through all of the stories in the Gospels, okay? There's another crowd, and they came and they wanted to make him king. Do you remember that story? Let's make Jesus king. And he slipped out. It was like, no, I will not work with power over people. I will work with people. And I'll come in and I'll support them and work with them. And do you remember the times when Jesus was hungry or thirsty? Do you remember that time he was outside the Samaritan village and he sat down at the well and he was like so tired, so hungry, so thirsty? What did he do? The disciples went, you wait there, Lord. We'll go into the village and get you some food. Yeah. And then the Samaritan woman comes along and he says, can I have a drink, please? That's total, like, so this is the God who can turn stones into bread. And he relies on the disciples, who seem to me take forever to do anything because they could never make a decision. And he relies on a woman that he's not even allowed to, as a Jewish man, to speak to. Will you help me? He won't use his power on himself. He uses it on other people. So what Jesus passed, those tests that he went through, you can see it. There's like story after story, and we haven't got time to go through them all. But you can see all these stories, and you can just see him. Nah, not going to work in power. No, I will not use my privileged place as the Son of God. The fact that I am a child of the living God, I will not spend that privilege on myself. I'll spend it on them. Yeah. I'm not going to go around making sure I've made a name for myself. Jesus finds out what he's made of and what are the non-negotiables for him. And Jesus is the way that we follow. So, we will journey through testing times as well. But it's great. These are the times when we see for ourselves what we're really made of, when we see what our true values are, and those spaces where we will not compromise. You are a follower of the way of Jesus. When you're tested, will you spend the privilege of being a child of God on your own comfort, spend your prayers on yourself, use your voice to fight for your rights, your protection, your power, your reputation? Will you compromise when you're tested? Or will you follow the way of Jesus and use the power of Holy Spirit and all your resources for the benefit and rights of others. All three tests, you can see, are at work. It always comes down to these three places in our lives: possessions, power, and reputation. And each time we're tested in those areas, that's our chance when we get to prove that I trust in the Lord with all my heart and I do not depend on my own understanding. Amen. Church, stand up and let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you so much that Jesus is the way. That, Lord, you went into that wilderness and you've come back with a way for us to live. And the way is always relationship with you, Lord, and putting our trust solely on you and never trying to sort of go, no, Lord, we'll do it this way, or this is a better way, this is more comfortable for me. No, we always are going to be looking, Jesus, to you and to that bigger picture that you are painting with our lives. And so we come before you now and we thank you for showing us the way. Holy Spirit, we need you as Jesus relied on you. We need you, the power of the living God within us, to help us. To help us, Lord God, to make, to maintain our values in the places where we're tested and to be reminded of our values, Lord. And so I thank you for doing that. I thank you for showing us the way. This is the way, walk in it. And that, Lord, you will do that for us. But we pray that, Lord, in our times of testing, that, Father, on us as individuals and as Christie's Beach Baptist Church, in these places of testing over our possessions, our power, and our reputation, may it be that you turn around to us and go, these are my children, and in them I am well pleased. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I pray that you'll go into peace and the love and the strength and the power of the Lord God that you serve. In the name of Christ, amen.